Housing for the Aged Action Group, HAG for short, a housing group for older people run by older people. Present
Raise the Roof!
We advocate for secure, affordable and appropriate housing. So listen up on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. on 3CR 855 on your AM dial.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Raise the Roof. I'm Liz and I'm here with Fiona. How are you, Fiona?
Good morning, Liz. Afternoon by the time listeners hear this.
I think so.
Yeah.
So it is subscribe drive at the moment. So we want to encourage everybody to subscribe to 3CR.
Yeah, so 3CR is obviously run by volunteers and run by donations, and one of the ways that you can support 3CR is by becoming a subscriber. There are very, very reasonable rates of subscription, and this enables you not only to support Radical Radio and support the important voices of marginalised people, such as residents of public housing, it also allows you to have a say in the running of the station, which is also a really important thing that you can be doing. At the end of the show, we'll put some more information about how much it costs to become a subscriber and how you can do it, but we wanted to start off the show by just reminding everyone that the month of February is subscriber time. So subscribe away.
Thanks, Fiona. So today we wanted to talk about the announcement on Thursday, the 29th of January, by the state government that the redevelopment of 7 out of the 13 older persons' high-rise public housing towers would take place in the coming years. So it's not 100% clear exactly when this redevelopment would take place. However, what is clear is that a lot of residents of these older persons' high-rise towers were under the impression that the redevelopment of their towers would take place at a much later stage. So that's quite a significant issue. The locations of these particular ones are Kensington, North Melbourne, Paran, St Kilda and South Melbourne. And we're hearing some concerns from lots of residents. Fiona, I wonder if you could just describe what it is that residents and tenants of these older persons' public high-rise are telling us about the shock.
Yeah, I think you're right, Liz. I think there was an understanding or an impression that the older persons' high-rise program, or the older persons' dedicated older persons' high-rises, would be towards the end of the redevelopment of the 44 towers. And a lot of people that we spoke to early on in the piece when we first found out about the redevelopment were saying things like, well, that's not going to be happening in my lifetime. That's a long way down the track. It won't affect me. We're talking about people in their 80s and 90s some of the time. Of course, now with this announcement, it's happening a lot quicker than people thought. And it has been a big shock to the system. Lots of people have lived in those places for a long time. They have a sense not only of community and neighbourliness amongst the other residents, but that sense of safety and security. And we've certainly always advocated for public housing as it is a forever home for people. They're able to stay there until stumps, as they say. So having that sense of security and safety has been a real shock. And it's fair to say there's a lot of confusion around what's going to happen next, what the timelines are, how people can be assisted, where they're going to move to, what the future is. So that sense of uncertainty seems to be pretty pervasive amongst the people that are speaking with us. Yeah.
And you mentioned about the significance of retaining public housing. It's important and it's really significant, I think, that a lot of organisations have signed on to a HAG statement saying that, basically calling for an increase in public housing for older people and also for more support. So in terms of that joint statement, can you tell us about that? I mean, I think that's really important because it indicates a very strong, it's a very strong push from the whole sector now of groups working together, advocating collectively to government for these things.
Yeah. So HAG put out a statement the day after the announcement, very quickly talking about the importance of not just retaining older persons' public housing, but growing older persons' public housing, which is keeping in mind we have to consider the 600-odd people that are affected by this announcement, but we also need to consider the 25,000 people that are on the wait list for public housing that are over 55. And as well as that, the thousands of people that call us every year that aren't even on the wait list yet. So we're in the midst of this very dire situation for older people in housing, where we're hearing from older renters that are unable to afford the rent, that have worked and just are working in their 70s and 80s to make ends meet. We have this amazing solution, which everybody needs, which is older persons' public housing, where your rent is set at 25% of your income and it's safe and secure, and it's a really great alternative to the vagaries and horrors of the private rental market. But on the same day as we're hearing all of these horror stories from private renters, we're hearing also that the government intends to do away with that. So we were galvanised pretty quickly to make a statement. And then it was really heartening to hear from other services and organisations in the sector that came to us to say, we're also really concerned about this and what can we do together. So Council to Homeless Persons pulled together a group of people who then signed on to a joint statement, which really underscored the recognition of the importance of older persons' public housing, and the need to, that the people living in older persons' public housing, you know, they have intersecting kind of health stuff. They've got age-related conditions, chronic health conditions, and it is different for older people. And so that recognition resulted in this joint statement that was signed on by, as I mentioned, Council to Homeless Persons, also Tenants Victoria, the Victorian Public Tenants Association, the Victorian Council of Social Services, VCOS, Elder Rights Australia, and CODA, Victoria Council on the Ageing. So a bit of a cross-section there of organisations and peak bodies supporting the need for supporting older people, which is really great and good to see.
Absolutely. And so in terms of what we know about the current planned redevelopment, so far the government is saying that there's expected to be a 10% increase in social housing.
Yeah.
And they haven't, as far as I'm aware, committed to a specific increase in public housing.
That's right.
So in terms of some of the differences between public housing and community housing, which often these things are grouped together and are called the catch-all phrase of social housing. Mm. But so I mean, one of the differences, I guess, is increased, shall we say, flexibility in the ways that community housing is owned and managed, that can have implications for security of tenure, but also for the ways that rent and bills are calculated.
Yeah.
And what have the government said about this in relation to the relocation of the public housing tenants affected by these seven particular buildings?
Yeah, so I guess there's two things going on. One is what happens while the buildings are being demolished and replaced. And so people are being relocated into existing community housing stock by and large. So because they have new community housing built adjacent to some of these places, that's where they intend to put a lot of the people in this housing. And they've said that they have recognised that older people like to stay together. So their intention is that they'll be moving people relatively close by and in kind of floor by floor blocks, which will have additional security. We've got some concerns about that, which I can go into later. But in terms of the difference between public and community housing, it will be a community housing landlord. It won't be the government anymore. They have undertaken to keep rents set at the same rates as they're getting in as their current rent, which is 25%. They haven't really addressed the bills issue because, as we know, a lot of these buildings have embedded networks where it's difficult for you to get the concessions, and there is a bill shock. We know for sure because we work with people moving in public housing and moving into community housing all the time as part of our Home at Last service, so we know the bills are more and a big shock.
And embedded networks, meaning that there's a set rate that is set by the government and that residents don't get to choose their energy provider.
Set by the provider. So set by the energy company. So that's, again, you don't get to choose your energy company. You have this package that is one provider that covers the whole lot, which is an issue. It's also an issue with energy efficiency. And anyway, we won't go into those things. But yeah, so the government has said that there will be help with bills. And what we're assuming that is that every Victorian on a concession card can get the Energy Saver, the Victorian Energy Saver supplement. I think it's about $150 or $250. But that's the same as any tenant anywhere. So you don't have that kind of security of knowing that your bills will always be maintained. You'll get a boost once a year. And we also don't know the how long that program's going to go for. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that's for the relocations into the existing stock. But then when they have the right of return back onto the redeveloped site, that again is up in the air. We don't know if that will be public housing, if that will be community housing, and what it will look like for older tenants. So one of the things that we've been saying is that, well, firstly, we want to have no loss of public housing on the sites, and we actually want to have an increase in public housing on those sites, more than 10%, obviously, just to address not only the people that are being relocated, but the hundreds of thousands of people that need this type of housing as well.
Yep. And so you mentioned there the right of return. So with some of the residents being in their 80s and 90s, and everyone's over 55, what does that right of return look like? So we're calling for that there needs to be a right of return that people can choose and have the option to return once their redevelopment has happened. But we're also calling for the government to get the offer right and to not make people move twice if that is just completely unrealistic.
100%, yeah. So right of return is really important. We absolutely think that the right of return needs to be kind of entrenched in a signed document that is you know, legally valid. We don't want them to not have the right of return. However, if someone is moving in their late 70s now and the redevelopments are taking 8 to 10 years or even 5 to 10 years, we don't want people having to move in their late 80s.
Absolutely.
Our message to the government and to Homes Victoria has been, please get the offers right now. Make sure that people are moving into a place where they don't need to move again. And what that means in reality is we don't want to have what the government's done in other relocations has been head leasing private properties. We don't want that to happen because that is subject to the vagaries of the Residential Tenancies Act and what the landlord wants to do, and doesn't have that security of tenure, even with the government head leasing it. So we don't want people to be having to move two times in 10 years. We want them to be able to stay. So that's a really important thing. But they've also said, and I don't know why they keep saying this, but you'll have the right of return if your eligibility remains the same and if the new homes are suitable for you. So this may be more relevant to younger people, but if you're over 55, you're not going to be getting any younger. You're definitely not going to be earning much more money. So it's very unlikely that your eligibility will change once you're in this age bracket. We would like stronger wording around that, and just people are not asking for much. They're asking for the basic need of a right of, you know, a roof over their heads. They're not asking for mansions, just want to get a place. So let's just try not to, you know, they qualify every statement with a bit of a qualifier. And I think that leads to a lot of the kind of confusion and not so much misinformation, but misinterpreting of the words, because it's just not straight talking. You will have the right of return. Your eligibility is probably not going to change. Just say that you're going to have the right of return. And put it in a document that's legally valid. So that's kind of where I think some of the issues are arising, is it's just not this, it's not straight talking.
So we're calling for greater certainty for things to be documented in documents that are really clear, and questions are answered in a very concrete way, that it's not vague and it's not subject to change later, because that confusion, I think, is quite distressing for people if they're led to believe one thing and then something very different happens later.
Yeah, and keeping in mind a lot of people, English isn't their first language, and we've already had because our Home at Last service houses a lot of people in these towers, particularly in Kensington and North Melbourne, which is in our catchment. So we've had people from non-English speaking background very confused even after the Homes Victoria people have met with them, and it's partly because of the language barrier, but also things aren't translating that well, I think. So people getting confused about the difference between renovation and redevelopment, for example, thinking that it's going to be a quick reno and they'll be back soon. Not the case. And confusion about, will we be able to come back? Can we stay in our neighbourhood? Where are we going to go? We want to stay in the places that we know. Is that going to be possible? So really really important to have interpreters present, really important to have translated material. Unfortunately, a lot of the material that Homes Victoria has provided thus far, the translated material has been via a QR code. A lot of people, older people, but particularly older public tenants, don't have smartphones. They're not going to access QR codes. There's nothing visible on the document that says, this isn't a well-known interpreter symbol. We understand what the interpreter symbol means. That's not on any of the documents. So I think there's some things that they can be doing to improve the way they're communicating with older tenants.
And it sounds like they have said, I understand there was an information session yesterday and the government have said that interpreters will be available on call. I mean, I think there's some progress in that space, but there, because of the degree of confusion, I think it's hard to get it right.
So there definitely has been improvement since the tranche one, as they call it, announcement. So firstly, people didn't find out about it on the news, which is a good thing. They embargoed the media until they got a chance to speak to people. Obviously, they didn't speak to everyone straight away, but they spent a day door knocking and having information sessions before it got released. That's definitely a plus. And they've also given a longer lead time. So they're not going to start moving people until July. So they've given, what, four, 5 months to allow people to get the information through, and I think that's good. They have said that they're going to be providing more support, and we've, one of the things that the joint statement says, and Hag has been saying as well, that this support needs to be independent from Homes Victoria, who are the landlords, and they're not social workers and they're not well equipped. Their job is to get someone to sign an agreement to move somewhere else, and that's different to providing information and support to that older person.
Absolutely. It's a very specific thing.
Yeah.
We are going to go to a couple of quick announcements and we'll be right back.
3CR programs provide information and analysis you won't hear in the mainstream.
Today we'll be looking at the legacy of the US war on Vietnam on Laos.
And as far as corporate capitalism is concerned, it is the worst political and economic system that you can have.
Our laws about jailing refugees and asylum seekers are so well crafted.
Sex is not irrelevant and we like who we are, but we don't have to be imprisoned by our gender.
Become a subscriber today. Call us on 9419 8377 or visit 3cr.org.au. 3CR, the voice of dissent.
And it is the subscriber drive at the moment with 3CR. And the reason that it is so important that we subscribe and donate to 3CR is it's really important to keep this station on air and for it to be run by the listeners and the subscribers. There's only one radio station that has this degree of social justice emphasis. You can hear programs about all sorts of different issues, really strong emphasis on amazing First Nations, Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander radio programs and environmental issues. So yes, we would absolutely encourage you, if you're not a subscriber already, please subscribe, and you can do that by calling up the station, which is 0394198377. And there are concession subscriptions available as well. So it's a pretty good value for money.
Yeah, it's $40 a year if you're on the on a concession card or a pension, or you are unwaged. It's $80 a year if you've got a wage and you want to support 3CR. And if you're a band or an organisation, it's $150 a year. Of course, if you've got heaps of cash floating around and you want to show your solidarity, it's $300 a year. So pretty reasonable, less than a dollar a week if you're on the pension.
This is the Raise the Roof program, and we've been talking about the redevelopment of the older person's high-rise public housing. And so, Fiona, what do you see is next on the horizon? Where will things go in terms of our asks to the government?
Yeah, we're continuing to talk to the government a lot about this, as much as we can. We've got in our statement is quite a bit stronger than the joint statement, and that's the nature of joint statements, I think. but our kind of, we're asking the government to do five things, and I'll just quickly let you know what they are. So one is, as I mentioned, to invest in and grow public housing stock, and that there should be no reduction of public housing on the renewal sites as a result of the development. So that's a really important thing. It's good that the land's not being sold, but we also want the buildings themselves to be owned and managed by the government, at least a proportion of them. We also think that the dedicated older person's public housing is really important, and community housing as well. Like, we think that dedicated older people's housing is really important. We often get calls into our intake service from people that are living in general housing stock that want to move into 55 plus housing because they feel safer, they desire that, and they need that as a important kind of place to age in place. And we saw it through COVID. I mean, this is something that I've spoken about before. When the COVID pandemic hit and the public health messages weren't getting through necessarily, because there was 13 towers that were filled with people over 55, they were a very visible place to be able to provide support. So the support for people in those 55 plus towers was actually better than the support for people in the low rise 55 housing. And that's because they knew where they were and they already had a program there, the older person's high rise program, mm-hmm. and they could mm-hmm. actually deliver masks and sanitizers and even vaccines on site. So you can't underestimate the importance of kind of knowing where your people are. And we think that that's an important place. Every morning there's, you know, lots and lots of support people coming into those towers, providing home care, providing personal care, providing those in-home aged care services. Yeah. And that's something that we think needs to be maintained.
Because the potential impacts, if there's not dedicated buildings for older persons public housing, the potential impacts being if older people are spread out, then it's just very difficult for services to reach people, and it's very difficult for those tenants to then be able to guarantee the support. It becomes a lot more individualised and challenging.
Yeah, and I think there's economies of scale as well. So you can have a social support program at the base of a building that reaches a whole bunch of people, which I think is really important and is currently happening.
Yep.
And we don't want to lose that. Lots of people are talking about the importance of that and the community gardens and stuff in there as part of their community as well. And the idea of having floors of people sort of locked in,
as opposed to dedicated buildings.
Right, yeah, but that's not going down well from the people that we're speaking to. It's you know, people are talking about that happens in the existing buildings now, not the older person's high rises, but some of the new community housing and developments where the security fobs, people can still get into the building. If people are too scared to get into the lift to get up to their floor, then that's also not going to do anyone any good. So that's why we're calling for the whole building to be older 55, older person's buildings. The other thing we're asking for is independent and specialist relocation support. So we want it to be independent, and to ensure that the rights of residents are retained in any new tenancy. And this includes not only the rent setting, but also home modifications, very importantly, bills, repairs and maintenance. We hear a lot of issues in the new buildings with repairs and maintenance and not getting that done, and the old builds, I should say. And also complaints. What's the process if people do have a dispute with their housing provider? This all leads back to the fact that we need to have the recommendations of the Social Housing Regulation Review implemented, which would have provided more support for community housing tenants. And the last one is prioritise maintaining older people's connections to the family, community and essential health and care services. Can't underestimate that. It's so important to be ageing well, to have that connection. So, yeah, that's what we're asking the government to be doing, and hopefully that will happen. In the meantime, we are working very closely with the Victorian Public Tenants Association and doing visits down to the sites that are affected, particularly in the northwest where we have care finders. We don't, unfortunately, have care finders in the southeast, but we do have members down there. So we're hearing a lot from our members in some of the towers down in St Kilda and Albert Park. But yeah, we're working with the Victorian Public Tenants Association and attending the information sessions that they're holding to be able to speak to older residents there. Yeah.
Okay.
So you should plug that.
So if people would like to get involved in the Older Renters Working Group, which is one of the member working groups run by Housing for the Aged Action Group, you can phone 03 9654 7389. So the Older Renters Working Group meets semi-regularly and on Mondays and feeds into the policy and advocacy work that Housing for the Aged Action Group does. So all of the policy and advocacy work from Housing for the Aged Action Group is heavily influenced by the working groups, the member groups that are people who are members of the organisation and who are older renters. So the Older Renters Working Group, it's a very strong group with lots of strong voices and people advocating for better public housing, for more public housing for older people. And if you'd like support, if you are an older person and need support around your housing, you can phone us on 1300 765 178.
And anybody out there that cares about older people's public housing and thinks that a society needs older people to be safely, securely housed, it's really important now to be getting involved in campaigns to protect this type of housing. We really need to maintain dedicated older people's housing, and it's definitely not a guarantee that in 10, 20 years' time that this type of housing will exist. So if you want to get involved in that and you want to support HAG to continue to advocate, please jump onto our website, which is oldertenants.org.au. Check out the latest news for the statements. You'll see our statement and you'll see the joint statement there. And yeah, just keep an eye out on our socials as well. We're moving away from social media because it's such a cesspit for billionaire, horrible people. However, it is a place where people continue to get information. So keep an eye on it and get involved because it's pretty much now or never, I reckon.
Thanks, Fiona. You've been listening to Raise the Roof, the show on 3CR by Housing for the Aged Action Group. This is Subscriber Drive for 3CR, so don't forget to subscribe 03 9419 8377. And we're going to close with a song. This is King Stingray and Camp Dog.
You're angry, but please don't take this out on me.